Blog Talk Radio.
There's a lot of people under the sound of my voice tonight. God has sent for you once. God has sent for you twice and three times. Some of you God has sent for 30 and 40 times. But you stop your ears to the voice of God and you haven't listened to God. But let me tell you something. One of these times God's going to set fire to your barley seed. And there's only one way that God can get you to come. And that's to take something you dearly love.
You know how many times we get in this life to mess up on y'all? Oh, I know a righteous man will fall, but you get what, seven times, but you only going to die one time. You ain't going to get to come back and say, y'all, can I do this all over again because I done had a flame of hell on my hand. He ain't going to give you no second and third and fourth, fifth chances. You got one life and that's it. You better live it right.
Why should a sinner repent? Because God deserves the obedience and love that he has refused to give him. Why should a sinner give up all his sins? Why should he be challenged to do it? Why should he make restitution when he's coming to Christ? Because God deserves the obedience that he demands.
The only sin we living in is the past that should have been gone and done away with by the blood. That's why we sit here with a guilty mind and guilty conscience. I guess we're trying to say that, Father, I guess that Yahshua's blood wasn't strong enough or powerful enough to do away with my sin.
God don't delight in whipping you. God warns you. He said, if you don't confess your sins, then I burn your barley seed. God's extended the time again and again. You've laid on your bed at night and you've had God come and wake you up and say, seek my face, child. And you said, not tonight, but later on. Not tonight, but later on. Next week, God. Next month, God. Next year, God.
You got to get rid of the fear from the beginning and leave the worry. What do you think this walk is? This walk is about the warriors and getting rid of the fearful. Because the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, they're all going to have their part in the lake was burning with fire and brimstone.
Fire! The blood makes atonement for us all.
God, if I've got anything in my life between me and you, God, I'm going to confess it and forsake it. God, search me. God, get everything out of my way.
Saints, hallelujah, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, everybody. How is everybody doing? Hallelujah. Glory to the King on his day of rest that he's given us. Hallelujah, this feast day, this seventh day, weekly Shabbat. Thank the Most High for it because Israelites, like me, love to rest. They really do. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Well, looks like we already got the audio check coming in. We got bonus points coming from the north. Hallelujah. All right. I don't know, Brother Ugly. We'll try and serve you up some more burnt cookies, okay? Lightly brown. How's that? Hallelujah. I bless you. I'll thank you all for the audio check. Well, first off, I had just letting you know that it might be kind of a few delays in here tonight because I have prescription glasses, but I like glass lenses, so when I went to the eye doctor the other day, me and Diane, and you know, I figured I'd get something taken care of or lens order or something, but they had to keep my glasses, so I've got glasses from 2 years ago on my face, and everything kind of foggy, and besides that, I can't see unless I take them off, to see the paper unless I take them off because of the bifocals. It might be kind of in out. And besides that, my printer went rogue on me, and, you know, the cartridge is just about out, so I might have to actually go just flip through pages in my Bible and do it that way. So anyway, you just have to bear with me in the delays. But hallelujah, the message is still be the same. Glory to the King. Hey, I know y'all enjoyed tremendously the, let's say, just off the hip that the Father put in Pastor Spirit today to speak about us to the covenant of marriage. Beautiful thing, beautiful thing. As the Father continually reminds us about our true relationship with Him as the bride to the husband. Wonderful, beautiful way to help us to understand who our Yah really is and what it really means. First that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So He gave us the covenant of marriage. Anyway, bless the King. Anyway, tonight's topic, I call it supernatural disaster. And I think by the time you get done hearing what I've got to say, you'll agree that it is the case. And the focus of tonight's study is, of course, the end times, as we come closer and closer to the day of the coming of our King, Messiah, Jesus Christ. And there's going to be a prevalent type of environment, a prevalent spiritual condition that is already here, but it's going to grow exponentially. And you're going to see that because of this condition, that all the world is going to wander after the beast and worship the Antichrist. All right, excuse me again, Brother Ugly. Always thank you for posting up the Word of Yah for the saints to follow along with. Appreciate it again, as always. Hey, and if you didn't hear, you hear now that our blessed Brother Ron and Sister Tama, I'm sure you all saw today in service that, they are going soon to be real husband and wife. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Another sound Israelite couple. We are so thrilled. And we were just down there having we had our little meal down there and little formalities and pictures and such. And I think the saints are doing a little something this evening down there, just fellowshipping, that type of thing. It's always good because to see our brothers and sisters. We have a new brother up in Florida this weekend. Beautiful spirit, first time up seeking deliverance to getting clean. That was great to see. Of course, we had a baptism. Always something going on here at Strayway. Always something going on. Brother, I don't know, brother. You're going to have to, I can pass it on to Brother Ron. Maybe he can send you a frozen piece. We'll see what we can do for you. I'll give you my piece. I'm not much of a sweet eater, but anyway. All right, hallelujah. Well, glory to the King. Hey, that sounds all right. All right, brothers and sisters, I got to take the glasses off, so I won't be able to see the chat room board, but hey, we'll make it fly. All right, we're going to start out, and you can put up Matthew 12:38 through 42, Brother Ugly, and then I'm going to open up. Matthew 12:38 through 42, hallelujah. And again, I appreciate you all for joining me tonight in this study. And I know that there is, weekly so much. You could obviously go back and watch Shabbat service, every day this week and learn something new. And then we have the blog. We talk about it all the time, but, it is the truth. It's just what the Yah requires of us. And He is going to leave nobody with excuse like they didn't know, especially in this ministry. Everybody's going to be without excuse. As we grow, He gives us more and more. He blesses us more. But the more we're given, of course, the more is required. So the more is required in the way of holiness. Hallelujah. All right. I think Brother Ugly's posting up there. Let me put these glasses back on. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Here we go. All right. Religion finds strength in the amount of signs and wonders it can produce. The more supernatural appearing something is, the greater it will enslave and captivate the awe and the curiosity of the people. Lying miracles, signs, tokens, wonders, magic, illusions defy normal thought and reasonings. They are the masterpiece of deceptions transcending in the realms of mysticism and mystery. They demand an explanation where none can be given. These things are doorways, avenues used to change the truth into a lie. These are the things which usher in idolatry, that usher in spiritual adultery and rebellion against Yah and His kingdom on a grand scale. They are the things which define men. Great feats of awe and wonder, I mean setting certain people apart for these great things that they can demonstrate, which surpass normal understanding, which give proof of something beyond the established lines, which carry the power and invocation of the supernatural. I mean, there's actually, you know, the backing, and I think you pretty much caught the gist of what I was talking about. Matthew 12, starting at verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered and said, Master, we would see a sign from thee. Right away, they are contesting against the Messiah, saying, look, we got to have proof that you're operating under the supernatural, under divine authority. We want this evidence, because once we get it, you'll have our approval. You'll have our backing. That's what they're looking for. Quickly, the word sign is the Greek 4592, Greek 4592. Simeon, this is the Thayer definition, Brother Ugly. I'm starting to get more away from the Strong's and try to include other, lexicons in here. The Greek 4592, the word sign, a sign, a mark, a token. So we have the Pharisees saying we would see a token from the, we would see a mark. We want to see something. That is continuing the definition that by which a person or a thing is distinguished from others and is known. A sign, prodigy, portent, an unusual occurrence, transcending the common course of nature, of science pretending remarkable events soon to happen, of miracles and wonders by which Yah authenticates the men sent by Him, or by which men prove that they that the cause they are pleading is Yah's. So they're coming in the power and authority of Yah by these demonstrations, by these signs. So again, we have these Pharisees demanding they want a mark, they want a token, they want something that would distinguish the Messiah from everybody else and establish, you know, verify their, you know, their unbelief that this man who's sitting in front of us is of Yah. You know, they can't see the works. They can't agree with the words that he speaks, but they have to have something that they verify, or something that they term will verify and validify this man Jesus standing in front of them. Verse 39, and he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. So he's saying, all this generation, this adulterous, the ones that have gone away spiritually from the Most High and sought out these devices, sought out these signs, they're seeking after these things. But, and Jesus said, no sign shall be given unto but the sign of Jonas the prophet. And of course, you know, these men, they don't possess the ability to spiritually discern who is of Yah and who is not. They can't. That's why they ask for a sign. They are carnal to the core. You know, they got to have all proof and acknowledge that this must be from the Most High, that this is divinely inspired. They have no witness of the spiritual and must seek proof of external wonders in order to give approval for something divinely inspired. And right away, of course, you all know I'm not talking about the true assembly of Yah, because we know that a power that is given to us is there for the benefit and the edification of the body, for the healing. And we already know it, believe it, that it comes from the Most High. We ain't looking for a sign. We are the sign. Verse 40, for as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Queen of the South shall rise in judgment up with this generation, and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, the greater than Solomon is here. And Jesus is making a parallel to, even though Nineveh got judged, they even have the right to stand up in judgment against this evil and adulterous generation, because they can't and will not be able to receive the true men sent from Yah. They can't do it. They want this outward sign to show the display of power and might and these acts of sorcery and witchcraft. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there was a certain old man whose son was... Oh, wait a minute. Okay, that was 42. I'm sorry. John chapter 4. Well, I'll tell you, without my bifocals, it's going to be a rough one right here. John chapter 4, verse 46 through 48. John 4, verses 46. And even in religion, we're getting small demonstrations of, you know, this type of lying signs and wonders. What was that goofball's name on... I don't know. I don't watch the TBN or whatever that... It was a religious broadcasting. Benny Finn, him, Dumb Din, whatever his name was, the man that, you know, turned out to be an imposter and liar. But, I mean, he fooled a lot of people with these lying signs and wonders. And there was millions of people that said this man was of the Most High. Clearly, he was an advocate and he was a tool for the devil. John chapter 4, verses 46 to 48. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judah unto Galilee, he went up to him, besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. You have to see something and prove that it actually exists. Wow, that's where faith comes in. This is going to be a faithless, evil and adulterous generation in the end. Alright, Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 32. Luke 11, 29 through 32. Let me see. Oh, thanks, Brother Ugly. I'd have to have my face 6 inches away from the screen. Right now it's about 3 foot, so I'd have to stand up. Appreciate the thought anyway. Just pray for Yah, a miracle in these old eyes. Hallelujah. All right. Luke chapter 11, 29 through 32. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. This has always been a part of human nature. I mean, even now we've lost a lot of the supernatural or what it meant to be, inspired by those things that were of the outside the natural. You know, that for these people, all they understood it. They practiced idolatry on a grand scale. You know, with the actual objects. We do it differently today, and self-worship and, you know, whatever has a greater love and affection than what we should have for the Most High. But back then, this was just, you know, common things, witches in the land. And that's why the Father had to make all the commandments and all the, issue the warnings out there by the voice of the prophets and such against these things, because they were there to do something. They were actually there to seduce people by the signs and the tokens and the wonders, because there's something inherently in men that, you know, I don't care if you call yourself an agnostic or atheist, you start seeing acts of supernatural power, the curiosity light bulb is going to light right up. But when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, this is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it. But the sign of Jonas the prophet, again, getting a second reading of what was already in Matthew. For as Jonas was a sign of the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. So the Son of Man is going to be the sign to this coming to this generation, the last generation. And the Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with the men of the generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Holy, greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation, shall condemn it. For what? What was the difference between these? They actually believed the word. They didn't have to look for a sign. They just heard what was spoken to them by the mouth of Jonah, the prophet. And at that time, for they repented at the preaching of Jonas. They didn't have to have any proof that Jonas was sent. The authority was in his speech. They knew where it was coming from. They didn't have to see any token display of, you know, great magic or sorcery or witchcraft or any of that. They just heard the word and they were convicted. Behold, a greater than Jonas is here. I believe sincerely that this is going to be a huge part of the ministry of the two last witnesses of God. So it was kind of refreshing when Pastor was doing scripture study and he hit on, you know, on the outside edges of some of the stuff I was going to talk about tonight. So, you know, I always look for some type of indication that this is kind of the direction that, you know, Yah is a little bit wanting us to go just a little bit, you know, because we've been talking about certain things. And then, so it's all, I like the confirmation. But anyway, these two individuals will be on the scene telling the people to repent, warning them for they will be the sign and token from Yah that the end is near. Just their physical presence on this earth is going to be enough. It's like the same thing when the Son of Man comes in this generation. The call out there to Yah's people is repent. That's the sign that we're going to get. Obey the gospel, obey the words, especially these two men that are coming on the scene. They're also there to condemn the world, but they're also there to awaken the hearts and minds of Yah's people. Because that's, I mean, when Yah sends his prophets, he don't send them to the world, he sends them to his people. Of course, they're going to be prophesying for 1260 days. I just heard that about Yah always sending them to his prophets. Revelation chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. And I know that I can substantiate the fact that the remnant are there, that they can hear. The word tells us, so we'll just read that quick. Revelation 11, 12 and 13. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up thither. And they sent it, that's talking about the two witnesses, the two prophets, after they'd been killed. And then they were resurrected again. The bodies came back to life. And their enemies beheld them going up, of course, in the cloud. In the same hour, there's a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnants were affrighted and gave glory to them, to the Yah of heaven. So this isn't the heathen or the Gentile nations giving glory to the Most High. They ain't going to do that. They're going to, because Yah's going to continually get on these people, get on the wicked of the earth, who's going to destroy with the brightness of his coming. But there's his remnant there. These are the ones, you know, giving witness, bearing witness that, again, by their voices, giving glory to the Most High, probably in front of all these people. You know, they knew the works of God. They knew these two prophets were sent by Yah strictly to minister to them because they're the heirs of salvation. Revelation chapter 18, verses 21 through, let me see, 24. This is where my printer starts to go goofy, so my words are getting more smeared and more disappeared as they go. All right. Let me see. And the mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast him in the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth. And this is directly attributed to Babylon, this next statement. For by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived, all the nations led astray, all the nations were seduced and erred by the sorceries of Mystery Babylon in chapter 17. And in her, Mystery Babylon, was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all that were slain upon the earth. And I know that there's different theories about who Mystery Babylon is, and I believe the Bible defines it clear that Mystery Babylon is this city, present city of Jerusalem. But anyway, that's just my opinion, whatever it means. Some people say it's the Roman Catholic Church, but it actually calls the woman that great city which ranked over the kings of the earth. And of course, here we got the Pope starting to make pilgrimages or make visits to where, you know, Israel. All right, the word sorceries is the Greek 5351. Of course, pharmacy. And it's from the Greek 5332. It's medication that is by extension magic. For by thy magic, the magic acts, literal or figurative, sorcery, witchcraft, for by thy witchcraft, where all nations are deceived. From the Greek 5332, pharmakeios, a drug that is a spell, giving potion, a druggist, somebody that administers, the magician, or the one that actually has the authority, the power, not the authority, the ability make the sorcery happen, to perform the witchcraft, to perform the magic. And then I went and I looked and I got the Microsoft Encarta dictionary back on my computer. I always liked it. I finally got back on there. I looked in their dictionary in there, and their word for sorcery, I think it breaks down very well. Man, again, we're talking about, for by thy sorceries were all the nations deceived. This whole entire earth in the last days is going to be deceived through the avenue of sorceries. And we're going to find out later, sorcery actually leads directly into spiritual idolatry, spiritual adultery, and rebellion against the Most High. But it's through these avenues of magic and witchcraft and that type of thing. All right, the definition of sorcery in Microsoft Encarta is witchcraft, wizardry, magic, black magic, enchantment, witchery, necromancy, bewitchment, conjuring. And then I broke it down and looked at the word magic in the same dictionary, reference dictionary from Encarta. And the word magic, conjuring tricks and illusions that make apparently impossible things seem to happen, put on displays of supernatural impossibilities, like, you know, totally awe-captivating, inexplicable things, a special, mysterious, inexplicable quality, talent, or skill, a supposed supernatural power that makes impossible things happen, or that gives somebody control over the forces of nature. All these things are going to play a part in deceiving the masses. You know, right now there's already, of course, we know by, you know, just what's going on in this world, that there's a full-out promotion to the credibility of the Bible in every way, shape, and form, to remove it, to censor, you know, have men that think they have knowledge of the Word actually go back and start to question the authenticity, and by which they overthrow the faith of some. So there's a continual attack against Yah's word like none that we've ever seen. The use of supposed supernatural power to make impossible things happen. So once the word is out of the way, once the sound is, once there's a famine for the word, the people are still going to be looking for something. So what? The earth is going to be ripe for these displays of supernatural, these supernatural acts of magic, and when they're going to draw people away, because you remove from people the knowledge who Yah is, you take his word away, then there's something that they have to go to, because it's in men to worship, okay? Whatever whatever the case is, whatever the worship be towards. You know, like in Paul was talking to, he was attacking those at Athens because they're having a dialogue with those at Athens, because they were worshiping the unknown God, but they were worshiping something they knew, a higher power. Well, here we take the word away, you know, and we have to have it. That's why the Bible says hide it in your heart, so it's still there, able to preserve you. But and then you get a mass increase of these supernatural things and everything that delves into cult you know, by magic. This is ultimately when the man of sin comes on the scene, that how he's going to deceive the whole world into believing that he's the Messiah, but the false Messiah, of course. All right, let me see. Subject, something to match, to make somebody or something seem to appear, disappear, change, or move by using magic. When Pat was talking, I think I mentioned that, you know, have it denoted here later in the study, but I'll just say now, talking about Philip, you know. I mean, what you take the appearance of, I don't know if people actually saw him reappear, but people didn't see him disappear. And the pastor was believed totally that we're going to have the ability to we have the ability now, we just don't have the faith and the love to actually start doing these things, and we're getting there. But as we gain more power, as we dig deeper into the ways of the Most High, into receiving them by faith, and knowing that this is something that God's given His people, you're going to see simultaneous demonstrations of this, at least the same latitude of power. Of course, it'll be the devil can only go so far. So right now, technology is going to fill in the gap, and it's actually doing it. I mean, just watch the latest CGX movie. I mean, it's just incredible what they can do with a green screen now. They can create reality in nothing. They can take your face and put it anywhere at any time and make you you can be the guy heading up the major bank robbery. They can put you right on there and say, look, the video shows it. They can digitize anything, so they can make demonstrations. Technology is going to give us a distinct, going to give Satan and his kingdom, this last world order, the direct ability to fool the people by these great displays of magic, basically all it is. All right, Revelation 9, chapter 20 and 21. Revelation 9, 20 and 21. Talking, just again, coming right off of Revelation 18 about how all the nations were seized by sorceries, the whole world. All right, Revelation 9, 20 and 21. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues were yet repented not of the work of their hands. They should worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood. Again, here we got back right way as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. What? And the rest of these men should not, which were not killed of these plagues, yet repented not. There was no repentance because there's no fear of Yah. Not of the there's a spirit of pride and attitude of, we have made ourselves gods and they repented not of the works of the hands of their own creations. That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither see nor hear nor walk. It's going to be idolatry is going to be prevalent in the entire earth back then. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And I believe when it's talking about sorceries here, more than anything, it's talking about the deep connection with the occult. In whatever way, shape, or form. Let me see here. All right. I'm going to, because this is only going to be a little over an hour show tonight, I'm going to go ahead and put my glasses back on, and we're going to take a break. So if you all need to use the bathroom or anything, we'll be back in a few minutes here. Let me see if I can see it right there. I believe it is.
Shalom. This is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straightway Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and, be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Yes, the immortal words, the King is coming. Hallelujah, the words that we rejoice. Glory to the King. All right, back at it. Yeah, these are all good comments, and I can see that the saints are very well informed and they keep up with all this stuff as well. We should be sober and watching, of course, by the avenue of prayer and getting in our word, absolutely, because the evil day is upon us. All right, Matthew chapter 24, verses 21 through 27. Matthew 24, 21 through 27. Oh, and I was thinking on something too during the break that, you know, sorcery, we think of the demonstration, the outward demonstration of sorceries or magic acts or illusions or whatever it is to use to beguile the people into believing or removing them from the one true Yah into, you know, worshiping all the idols of whatever it may be in front of them. That's also an avenue. Sorcery is also can be promoted and manifest by the words of a man's mouth. It's simple. Hey, just to introduce a false doctrine or doctrine that, you know, is close to the truth but actually isn't the truth, and it'll draw men away from the true one true and living. Yeah, I mean, the Bible talks about seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and that's an avenue of sorcery. It will cause a person to go away from the true word of Yah, the one that saved them to begin with and bring them on the road to salvation, and actually cause them to worship another false god, whoever the inventor is of this false doctrine. So, I mean, sorcery comes in many avenues, but again, this prevalent spirit in the last days is the one that's going to cause all nations to be deceived. All right, Matthew 24, starting in verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as one was not since the beginning of the world, this time nor ever shall be. Except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Okay? Except for those days should be short, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, it's talking about nobody that's in human form will actually be able to. If Yah didn't do something, cut this thing short, anybody that's a believer in the Messiah would not be alive at the end, put it that way. And of course we know that's contrary, because what's going to happen, that Jesus is trying to tell you that there's something coming up on the scene that's going to be so powerful to the believers that we'll keep reading here. So he had to shorten these things so salvation in a vessel like us all, as we're striving for salvation, Yah in us will actually be preserved. But there, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. So they're going to start pointing all, because the word of Yah is going to be pretty much gone from the entire face of the earth. You know, Bible's going to be outlawed, and everything else they've done to destroy the true word of Yah. You know, so people are going to be looking for something to worship, identify with. And of course, there's going to be those that still remain and have still in their minds of, you know, whether they heard Jesus in church or they have some word in him or whatever, or there's some hope that still remains burning in men that, you know, hey, we need to, you know, we know Christ is coming, right? Or this man over here is speaking Christ or whatever. Anyway, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, and there believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and how are they going to seek that if the days weren't short, no flesh should be saved? They shall show great signs and wonders, witchcraft, sorcery, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. And of course, the word were is added and italicized, and if you read your King James, and so it says, if possible, they shall deceive the very, it's going to be that powerful. And don't fool yourself. I mean, The devil is magnificent. I mean, he's actually, you know, if Yah wasn't holding him back from actually doing, because he's the sum of all wisdom, what the Bible says, think about it. You know, there was nothing on the face of this earth for 6,000 years as far as what we understand technology. Of course, there's documentaries out there, the historical artifacts that show that man had some development, and maybe they started to, like the Tower of Babel, they were going to build up to the heavens. But of course, Yah destroyed that. It wasn't time for that to happen. It couldn't happen then. And, you know, you can see little historical facts along the way. But the main point is, in the last 150 years, not even, there's been a surge, this is the age of technology. I mean, why did it take 6,000 years to get here? You know, because the Most High was holding back Satan from action because it wasn't time. But now it's time. So, and as we get close to the end, look how technology is advancing. They tell you that, you know, in 10 years, the stuff that we see now is going to be like totally archaic. So I was reading something the other day where they developed the fastest supercomputer in the entire world. And, you know, this thing is just doing mathematical equations, mathematical functions, like far beyond anybody's imagination. And that's the whole focus, you know, push for this. But anyway, they shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Imagine what kind of quality of saints this has to be to get that far, to have to go through everything else to get to this point. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say to me, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And again, you can say, in your patience, possess your souls, because it was written beforehand how this is all going to play out and what we should expect. So by that, we can help preserve ourselves. All right. Exodus chapter 7, verses 8 through 12. Exodus 7, verses 8 through 12. Now, it's interesting. Something pops on mind. I was doing a short study on something called prana. Prana, I don't know if any of y'all are familiar with it, but there's this big surge lately, and, you know, I can see it trying to infiltrate us. They use, if you're all familiar with chakras and all this other junk, and of course we talk a little bit about the pineal gland and stuff like that, but there's this New Age religion, this New Age occult dabblings that actually is growing a lot of strength and a lot of believability, especially with the tree huggers and all the other crap out there, that they use the life force of the body. You know, that they can. That's how they promote healing, that's how they promote, you know, to diagnose into whatever. They can sit back and, you know, they can analyze the aura, they can analyze the seven chakras, the life force emanating from the body, and tell you, pinpoint to you where the body is deficient at, or what is wrong with that. I mean, this goes way beyond acupressure, acupuncture. You know, these people are actually dabbling into the cult, getting a spiritual eye that's not discernment. That's something that's bred by the occult. It's a quickening by a realm that isn't of Yah. Okay, but remember, Yah has to have an emulation, or he has to have, you know, the Satan's always going to try to compete with him on every scale. So now the Satan is, of course, this isn't nothing new. It's just becoming more open like everything else is now, and more promoted, because the world is ripe to receive a lot of this stuff. You know, because they've been making Yah, they've been doing everything they can to take Yah and his word out of the way, so they're replacing it with other things. And just be careful, you know. You all are very enough, you know, wise enough and sound enough to detect and see this stuff. But, man, this stuff is, you know, people ain't playing around with this stuff. This is for your souls. All right, Exodus chapter 7, verses 8 through 12. And the Master and Yahweh speak unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, when Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, show a miracle for you. Way back in there, the time of Egypt, the Pharaoh. Same thing as the Pharisees. Man, show us something. Proof. I want proof that you are who you say you are. I want proof that you say that you're from, you're Yah, you're Elohim. I want it. You prove it to me. because they haven't got a spirit of belief. They haven't got, they just flat out heathen. They're the servants, the ministers of Satan. Show a miracle for you, then thou. And you know what that does also again? And it just pop. It's going to test a man's faith. It really is. You know, you say you're a disciple of the Most High. You say that you're representative of the kingdom, one of his ambassadors, that you stand for Yah, that you're one of his children. Man, prove it. Prove it to me. You know, you can. I don't want to hear anything else. I want to see if Yah has actually got your back and he's going to show a miracle on your behalf. All right. Then of course, Jesus said that this is an evil, adulterous generation. They got to have some type of evidence to establish some type of proof, all right, credibility. But show a miracle for you, then thou shalt send Aaron, take their rod, cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. So Pharaoh's putting it out there. He's tempting, and thou shalt not tempt Yahweh the Elohim. So here we go. This is Yah already knows what he's going to do to make Pharaoh look like a damn fool. And, of course, a miracle is something that defies explanation. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as Yahweh had commanded. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. So here we have the serpent, you know, on the floor, and it's, you know, in front of everybody to see a display. And Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, the practitioners of magic and black magic and divination and all the other things that dabble in the occult. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also in like manner with their enchantments. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. Excuse me. For they cast down every man his rod and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rod. Now here's the manifestation again of the power of Yah, putting the devil underfoot. All right, Revelation 13, 11 through 15. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and it had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. If any of you are new to some of my studies, go back and look what it means up behind the word two horn or horns in this verse, and you're going to find out that it's likened unto the deliverance of the Messiah, or Jesus. It's a little bit more in depth than that, but I'll just give you that little tidbit. It's really, you know, quite astounding. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first. So he had the look and the appearance of a holy, righteous thing, something that, you know, is harmless, but of course is in his speech, we can tell that he was the servant of the devil. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders. He's going to give a demonstration of who he is. He's going to give a demonstration to all the people in the entire earth that this is, you know, Yah, the one that was come to set the people free, the Messiah, the deliverer, the one that was prophesied in the prophets of Israel to come back in the sight of men to be the deliverer, of course. And so he's going to give a demonstration. It's not going to be by preaching or by the word as Jesus did. Repent. But he's going to do great wonders. So he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in sight of men. He's going to seduce by sorceries all the nations by all these great wonders. The word wonders is Greek 4592. Samion, I think that was the same, it's the same word as sign. An indication, especially ceremonially or supernaturally. Miracle, sign, token, wonder. So something that's supernatural, miracle. And this Antichrist, this son of perdition, is, you know, going to make a demonstration that he's going to give, he's going to show what authority he sent in these self-made, self-induced miracles and wonders, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. And of course, where is the Antichrist going to be placed in power? Obviously Jerusalem. I believe that. But my opinion is that he's going to take his seat at Jerusalem. I mean, of course, we've already been known for thousands of years. That's where the Messiah, that's the city of the King, the name that has Yah's holy name on it. and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles. What he had to do and had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had no power, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Of course, this is judgment day for some people, a lot of people. You know, I'll just read the notes here. Pastor Donald mentioned today in Sabbath service about how in the latter days the assembly will manifest even greater exhibitions of demonstration of the power of Yah, but as our signs and tokens elevate to much greater heights, so will that also the kingdom of heaven. And of course, I talked about that, and I mentioned that earlier. And we already have that demonstration back in Exodus. We just read it for you, that as Yah gave a demonstration of his power, which of course triumphed over Satan and his imitations, Joseph and Jambres, or the two magicians, actually did the same demonstration. They tapped into the occult and were able to duplicate that. And of course, when you do that in front of people, it's going to leave people in the valley of decision. You know, which one's Yah? Well, you know, of course, men always take the path of less resistance. So if this God that's manifesting this way, but he doesn't demand as much in the way of holiness, or whatever the case may be, you know, we're going to hold to that, or it's going to basically mock the one that sent, that Yah had sent. It's actually meant to be a mockery. And of course, now we're going to read Revelation 11, talking about the two witnesses and what they're going to do, and nobody's going to be able to prevent them. And the reason they're going to want these two men out of the picture, out of the way, because they can't refute it, they can't deny it, they can't, on the scale of magnitude, produce the power and the manifestations of the power of Yah like Satan and his evil agents. All right, Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And there was given me a rod like, like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yah and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they turn under 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses. And of course, that's another inserted word. If you were to go back and listen to the teaching I did on the two witnesses back, I think it was last May of 2015 or something, we talked about that in there, how that word power was inserted in there, actually kind of, removed from the real meaning of what was going on. But anyway, that was for another time. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth, the same exact number of days that Israel, in Revelation 12, the woman is hid in the wilderness. Excuse me. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the Yah of the earth. And if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth them, and devour the enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. So they have the ability. We've seen that, you know, the image of the beast, and they had power to call fire down from heaven. Well, these two witnesses are going to have fire proceeded out of their mouth, either by the word that's going to consume them, whatever the case may be, a literal fire. I don't know. I can't say, but it's going to be some type of force that's going to sterilize and consume what's ever in front of them. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have powers over waters to turn them to blood. Of course, this is going to produce a worldwide famine and hunger, and cause even more hatred towards these two witnesses, these two prophets. And have power over waters to turn them to blood. First of all, no fresh water, and then all the water that's there is going to be undrinkable. No wonder we'll be able to drink any deadly thing. Hallelujah. Yah's going to preserve us in the midst of all this going on during the tribulation. And to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. But they have the demonstration of power in backing, just as Moses did when he led shortly before Pharaoh released the children of Israel out of their captivity. It took all these demonstrations, the power and might. And by that time, Pharaoh knew that it was coming from the Most High. He couldn't stand against this. All of his sorcerers, magicians, couldn't hold a light, a candle. It was obviously nothing that they could do against it anymore. Apparently, the ability to manifest and exhibit great acts of supernatural feats existed with the disciples. We read of how Philip was able to transport himself from one location to another, and how James and John in the book of Luke also asked Jesus if he would have them to call down fire from heavens to consume those which opposed him. And Jesus never said that it wasn't possible for these two disciples to do that, but that their spirit for desiring to do this was not right. And if you remember that, I don't remember what chapter the book of Luke that is in, but if you go back, I think maybe it's 9. If you go back and read it, I mean, you see by the context of the discussion that Jesus was having with James and John that, you know, he never said out flat out, hasn't been given you the power to do these things. He just said, you don't know what kind of man or spirit, because they wanted to do it in just, they knew that this was a way, an avenue which to destroy the dissenters against Jesus. It was the Samaritans that were, wouldn't allow him to go through their city. And, you know, Jesus said, man, you're just operating on the wrong spirit. You don't understand what I'm doing. It's now is not the time sort of thing. Isaiah 57, 1 through 5. We're going to kind of tie sorcery and all the works of enchantment and all these other things back into how it actually directly relates to spiritual idolatry, adultery, and rebellion. Because remember, the whole Babylon, by her sorceries are all nations deceived. So leading them off to worship of other things. The righteous perish, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men, did I say Isaiah 57, 1 through 5? I don't even remember. Yes, I believe I did. Thank you. The righteous man perish, and no man layeth to heart. And merciful men are taken away, not considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. Maybe that's something. Maybe taken away right before Yah looses the 7 last vials, huh? Just a thought. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the practitioners of these magic ways, black magic and enchantments and spells and all these things that produce signs and wonders. The seed of the adulterer and the whore. Remember, Jesus said it's an evil and adulterous generation that seeketh a sign, the one that the sorcerers can ultimately put out their supernatural sign. Against whom do you sport yourselves? Okay, now who are you coming against? Who do you actually think that you're showing yourself mighty in front of? Against whom make you wide mouth and draw out the tongue? And they're boasting in this power too. The seed of the adulterers, the seed of the sorceresses. Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? These things are all lies. You know, it's coming from a demonic source. They're not of Yah. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valley under the cliffs of the rock, of course, is in sacrifice to Molech and Rephram and Satan, ultimately. The word sorcery here in the Hebrew is 6049. And remember, we're talking on Isaiah 57:3, ye sons of the sorceress, or sorcery. To make appear, produce, bring, to practice soothsaying, to conjure, to observe times, practice soothsayings or spiritism, or magic or augury or witchcraft, soothsayer, enchanter, sorcerer, diviner, fortune teller, barbarian, menonomen. That's out of the Brown Driver Briggs. I'm sorry, Brother Ugly. Should have told you that ahead of time. But that's the Brown Driver Briggs definition out of the word sorcery, 6049. Sorcery is idolatry. It is the worship. It is the allegiance to strange gods. It is the spiritual adultery and spiritual whoredoms which leads to separation and death. Sorcery is the snare which draws men to look for those things forbidden by the Most High. Written by the Most High for men to search out other ways to enter into the eternal state of the supernatural. It is the lie which leads men to believe that they have and will escape the judgment of Yah, and that the lie that which deceives men into believing that there is another way to become gods themselves, the lie that tells them that the door to eternal salvation is opened by their own accord, and that there is no longer need of approval of the one true and living Elohim, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, John 10, verses 1 through 10. Let me see. All right, Brother Ugly, I got it. I had to put my glasses on to see what you're writing, but yes, sir, I got it. Understood. All right, John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but by climbing up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. The only one that has the ability to open the door to eternal salvation is, of course, Jesus, the Messiah. He's the one that opens the door and allows you to come in. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, they go up before him, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Of course, they know the way. They know the truth. They know the voice of Yah. They know all these things that lead to eternal life, not death. And a stranger will they not follow. All these other voices, all these other temptations, all these demonstrations of and imitations of, you know, Yah and his word, but what, by whatever demonstration that may come, either by word or deed, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, the voice of strangers, you know, those things which invite and promote false doctrines, false customs, false practices, you know, these type of strange voices. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he said. Then said Jesus unto them again, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. All these people, all these things that actually went around, tried to go around Yah, come into the supernatural by another way, try to enter into this, the realm of the spirit world, and getting to themselves, seeking for themselves eternity and blissful eternity, an eternity of peace and, you know, whatever the case may be, in a euphoria. But of course, the whole point is they were trying to open other doorways to get in to that way, which is only Yahweh the Elohim, Jesus the Christ, can open to his sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, to kill, and destroy. I am come that I might have, they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. And I was reading, I was thinking, I read something the other day, I don't know. I watched on occasion this man on YouTube called Jason A. Maybe some are all familiar with him. And I think he does a good job of trying to keep up on world events. Sometimes I think he sensationalizes stuff a little bit, just to, you know, but he does do a good job. This is my own opinion, but he showed a little YouTube clip about, he's not the only one, about, you know, the CERN Super Collider in CERN, Switzerland. If y'all aren't aware of it, you know, go look it up. But they're actually credited with making the God particle now, or discovering the God particle, you know, completely undiscovered breakdown of the atom. And, you know, but they actually say that the last time they ran the super collider, which was, you know, earlier this month, they actually opened a portal, right overhead. And they got some pictures of a lightning storm and stuff. I don't know, with special effects and everything, you can promote things, do things. You have to take it and discern for yourself and get a witness for yourself. May or may not be true, but I know one thing. They're doing everything they can to make themselves God on this earth, whatever that means, whatever that takes. I mean, from, you know, genome studies to DNA, to just like it was in Babel, we're going to build a tower. We're all going to have one mind, one accord, one language together, and we're going to build a super tower, modern day Babel, up to the clouds, and we're going to stand as God, because we're going to be just like him, the same the same attempt Satan's been trying to make since the beyonging, you know, to be greater and higher than God. Of course, he's going to fail again and again and again. Let me see. Oh, the YouTube. Oh, I'm sorry. I had to put my glasses on. That's Jason A. That's the guy that I watch on occasion. In fact, I watch a couple of his videos, and he pretty much puts out a new one every week. Again, he tries to gather up all. Yeah, Jason space A, small A. And he goes around and gets all the world events. There's a few other people that do that too. I just like his stuff is straightforward. You know, he's got a little music playing in the background, which kind of excites a little bit, but he does a good job. I mean, he covers all natural disasters and, you know, politics, economics, supernatural stuff, whatever he gets his hands on. Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1. Let me see, 1 through 9. Oh, Pastor Corey shared this with you for y'all a couple weeks ago. Hallelujah. All right. So some people do have the knowledge of this man. Okay, anyway. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Master Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, and we are in the process of the gathering unto him into one. That you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word or any demonstration of any power, supernatural power, divinely inspired thing, whatever it may be, nor by letter as from us, as the day of the Messiah, day of Christ, is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. You know, and that a lot of the falling away isn't because, well, of course, people can get disenfranchised. There's a great quest on right now, a great promotion in the spirit, if you're paying attention, to acquire hidden knowledge, to go deeper into knowledge that isn't even meant for us to be. We've been given enough in the pages of the Bible, you know, and that's what we need to stay in. In that word, and you study to show yourself proved right, but don't go outside the other, you know, outside the source of the word. You compare it back to the word always, but don't go out there and start promoting or making something that's not there. Trying to, and a lot of times when men do that, of course, they're trying to draw attention to themselves. They may mean well, but the point is that they're going to overthrow the faith of somebody. So be careful. We've talked about this in the past, you know, but don't be, you know, troubled by neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Messiah is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come first, except there come a following first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So all the stuff has to lead up to the appearance of the anti-Messiah. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called Yah? I am the ultimate Yah. And that is worship, or so that he as Yah sitteth in the temple of Yah, showing himself that he is Yah. That's why the Greeks and Romans and other, you know, societies throughout the years, empires throughout the years of history have always created their own plethora of gods to, you know, somebody to worship, somebody that, you know, that they could put all their inspiration and use these legends as, you know, to keep the people in fear. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know that with what withholding, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the master shall consume with the brightness, with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. These are the workings of Satan. This is the way Satan works, with all power and signs and lying wonders, demonstrations of the supernatural. And And, you know, as I was doing this, I thought, Papa Man, can Satan heal? No, he can't. Satan cannot heal. And Satan, the only thing Satan can do, of course, that we know that when sin enters into a man or the demonic spirit that has the legal right to enter him because of transgression against Yah, it does things to the body, physically, you know, mentally, whatever. And you may have a situation, and you're not your body, but other people, of course. I'm not saying Israel, but, you know, say somebody has infirmity, and you get a lying sign and wonder, somebody trying, he's actually transformed himself into the angel of light, but he's actually an advocate of the devil, like Benny Hinn and many others. And he gets up there, and he lays hands on somebody, and he's calling this infirmity leave. All Satan's got to do is pull the spirit out, and the infirmity's gone. I mean, it's not really rocket science. He can't heal miraculously, but he can heal. The trickery, the magic, the foolery is still available to him, and he's going to use them avenues. And, of course, that's why we go back to pharmakia. You get the drugs, you know, the sorcery through drugs. They're there to mask the symptoms, to cover them up, to give the illusion that somebody is actually healed, being healed or healed, outside of the only true healing there is by the hand of Yah. Revelation chapter 17, 1 through 5. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth been made with the drunk with the wine of her fornication. Remember, who is responsible for her sorcery that deceived all the nations of the world? It was Babylon, Mystery Babylon, by her, ultimately by her end, were all nations deceived. And how does she do this? Through the avenue of fornication, or going after false gods, going after her, you know, worshiping her as she rises upon the back of the beast. And actually, they've been made and put into such a stupor of intoxication that there's blindness, total blindness, that can't see anything else but this. So he carried me away in the spirit into the beast, wilderness, excuse me. And I saw a woman sit upon the scarlet covered beast, full of names, of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. The book of Nahum. Nahum chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. This is where my printer really gets rough, so if I can't handle it on the paper, I'll have to just get my Bible and read from that, so there might be a little delay. Anyway. Nahum chapter 3, verse 1, what they say, through 7. Woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery. They pray, the prey departeth not. And of course, Nahum is talking about the city of Nineveh. Jonah had already gone, and by the word of the Most High, prophesied to Nineveh to repent. They did, but now here we got Nahum coming back, saying, woe to the bloody city. You know, they went right, slid right back. It is full of lies and robbery. The prey departeth not. The noise of the whip, the noise of the rattling of the wheels, and of the prancing horses and the jumping chariots. The horsemen lifted up the bright sword and glittering spear, and there is a multitude of slain, and a great number of carcasses. There is none end of their corpses. They stumble upon their corpses. Because, why did they revert back? Because this spiritual condition was not rooted out of the people. Because of the multitude of the whoredoms of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft that selleth nations through her whoredoms, and the families through her witchcraft. Again, we have the spirit of sorcery coming back in here, bring the people back into captivity, spiritual captivity through the avenue of whoredoms or idolatry, spiritual idolatry, spiritual adultery, and ultimately rebellion against Yah. Behold, because remember, they were already warned once, and they already went back. This is the end of them. Behold, I am against thee, saith Yahweh of hosts, and I will discover thy skirts upon thy face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thy shame. He's going to make an open example of this city, as he's going to do with Jerusalem. And I will cast abominable filth upon thee, and make thee vile, and set thee as a gazing stock. And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee, and say, Nineveh is laid to waste. Who will bemoan her? When shall I seek comforters for thee? You have the natural. This is a very good literal demonstration of what's going to happen to the spiritual Babylon. The correlation between the writings are very familiar. I mean, and we're going to say it, find out also in Isaiah 47, which I'm going to read for you next. It's the same judgment upon those that get so influenced and so entrenched with sorceries and the things that dabble into the supernatural occult that the end of the judgment is always the same. It's quick. Isaiah chapter 47, 6 through 15. Isaiah 47, 6 through 15. And Yahweh says, I was wroth with my people. I have polluted mine inheritance and given them into thine hand. Thou didn't show them, well, thou did show them mercy. Okay, that's where the printer's messing up. Thou did show them no mercy. Upon the ancient thou hast laid, hast thou very heavily laid thy yoke. And thou says, I shall be a lady forever. Boy, here comes the strong delusion. So that thou didst not lay these things to thy heart, neither did thou remember the latter end of it. You know, what's happened before in the past, when you actually, when the declarations made that I'll be late, I'm fine, I'm doing right, and but there's a latter end to this deception. Therefore, hear now this, thou that art given the pleasures that dwell carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am. And none else beside me, actually taking the place, the same Antichrist spirit taking the place of Yah. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. I'm not going to see all these things. I know what's going on. I have control of the situation. I am. The declaration is, I am Yah. But these two things shall come upon thee in a moment, in one day. Almost the same parallel came along Mystery Babylon. I mean, 1 hour, though, was her judgment. The loss of children and widowhood, they shall come upon thee in their perfection for the multitude of thy sorceries and for the great abundance of thine enchantments. All this stuff again, all these things, the sorceries, the enchantments, the observation of time, divinations, all these things actually brought sudden and quick destruction again to these people. For thou hast trusted in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none seeth me. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge it had preferred thee. Again, that quest, like Daniel said, you know, I think it was Daniel chapter 12, knowledge shall be increased. And we know the only way it can be increased because Yah is allowing Satan to increase the knowledge and drawing men to knowledge, those wicked to the knowledge, rather than staying with the simplicity that's in the Most High. It hath perverted, because there's something in man to want to know more. And again, I said it before, I don't know what it is. There's a desire for us to grow in the Most High. And as He gives it to us, then we can speak it, okay? But to actually go out there and to look for something to make it say something that doesn't exist, man, you know, of course, that's dabbling into sorcery and witchcraft. Thy wisdom and thy knowledge it hath perverted thee, and thou hast said in thine heart, I am and none else beside me. Therefore shall evil come upon thee, thou shalt not know from whence it riseth, and mischief shall fall upon thee, thou shalt not be able to put it off. And desolation shall come upon thee suddenly, which thou shalt not know. All for the practicing of sorcery, enchantments, all these things to do, dabbling the occult. Stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries. Have you all heard of, I'm sure most of you all heard about the Kabbalist. You know, that's the mystical part of the Zionist Jews, you know, that's the stuff, that's for their upper echelon, their elite, and that's that crap and that junk goes really deep into the occult and in the Antichrist spiritual realms, really deep, but these people are held in exaltation as, you know, the masters of the Jews, of the Zionists, you know, these are the untouchables because they had tapped into this hidden source, which is only held for a few of the elect, you know, in their arena. All right, stand now with thine enchantments and with the multitude of thy sorceries, which thou hast labored from thy youth. If so be thou shalt be profit, able to profit, if so be thou mayest. You go ahead. I mean, you grab hold of these things, hold fast, see if they're actually going to make give you a way of escape, if you can actually prevail, because you already believe that you are, you am. This again, this is an antichrist spirit. Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Now let the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly procrastinators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Same parallel with, you know, Pharaoh and Moses and Aaron. They're not going to be able to do it. The same thing with Daniel. You know, he had to actually get somebody, Daniel, you know, a man of Yah, to actually make known the king's dream. But nobody else could do it. To save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble. The fire shall burn them. This is the end of these type of people, this type of spiritual condition. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. They shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before. All right. As the words are so faded. Thus shall they be unto thee with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants. Again, the word merchants. Here we come back. Revelation 18. Boy, it talks all about the merchants. Another good parallel is, besides Nahum, is also in Jeremiah 51. It almost looks like you're reading word for word what it says in Revelation 18. Even thy merchants from thy youth shall wander, everyone to his quarter, none shall save thee. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. We're just about done. 9-14. When thou art coming to the land which Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after their abominations of these nations. There shall not be found among you, that's in Israel, Yah's people, his special people, anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. The word observer of times is the Hebrew 6049. Again, this is an outward manifestation of certain occult events or supernatural events. An observer of time, Hebrew 6049, Anon, to make appear, produce, bring, as in clouds, to practice soothsaying, to conjure, to observe times, to practice soothsaying or spiritism or magic or augury or witchcraft, soothsayer, enchanter, sorcerer, diviner, fortune teller, barbarian, menonema. And we covered that in another, I think it was under magic earlier, if I remember right. Same definition. All right, verse 11, or charmer or consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard or necromancer. A charmer. This is an interesting word. And when I read it, it mainly brought me to, of course, in, I think it's, what is it? Genesis, what chapter was it when they babbled? 4 or 5 or something? I don't remember. But anyway, the word charmer is the Hebrew 2266, tabar. It means to join. So they're using this avenue of charming. You know, what, however that may go out there and be used, it means to join literally or figuratively, specifically by means of spells, to fascinate. And, of course, everything, we know this whole world is inundated with witchcraft from the products that you buy. We know that we have, there's proof out there that they have witches that pray over certain products, and they come to your home, they actually captivate you by the spirits that are attached to their prayers and their witchcraft spells. I mean, this stuff is dirty and it's deep, but that's the way Satan operates. That's how he's trying to keep control of his world. It's his kingdom. He's going to try and keep it like that, but, you know, he always fails to, he's too proud to know the end, that he's already lost. Anyway, by means of spells, to fascinate, to be compact, coupled together, have fellowship with, heap up, to join the self together, a league. I mean, right away, you hear the word league, you got United Nations, all right? These are charmers. This whole invention of the League of Nations, which is now we know as the United Nations, is nothing but a den of charmers. That's all they are. They've come together to practice witchcraft before the whole world, and they're actually gaining more and more acceptance. I mean, if you look in the news headlines lately, You know, the word NATO keeps showing up all over the place. NATO this, NATO that. The alliance, the one alliance, the supposed world military friendly force, the peacekeepers, whatever you want to call them. Russia's already flexing their muscle. Tell them, yeah, try it. We'll show you what the UN, the NATO troops have got. Anyway, that's another topic. Deuteronomy 18, verses 12. Oh, yeah, we're still on there. I'm sorry. Continuing on verse 12. For all these things are an abomination under the Most High, because of these abominations, the master of thy Elohim drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect before Yahweh the Elohim. For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observer of times, and unto diviners. But as for thee, saith Yahweh the Elohim, hath not suffered thee to do so, or allowed thee to do so. So when Jesus comes back, of course, all these wicked and destroyed with the brightness coming, and this stuff isn't going to be present in the thousand-year millennium. All right, 2 Kings 17, verses 14 through 18, talking about the history of our forefathers, about our people. And if you don't think this stuff is going to start creeping back into Israel, you're kidding yourself. The devil is going to use the weaker links to try and bring this stuff back in, because it has a certain, it's a witchcraft, it's sorcery, it's very smooth, very sneaky, very deceiving. I mean, it says, if it were possible to see the very elect by these lying signs and wonders, there's a deception and this hidden, forbidden knowledge, this esoteric stuff that's coming out. So very, very, and as it was before, it's going to be again. So be careful of this stuff trying to sneak back in, especially in the way of false doctrine that would cause one to go commit adultery against, idolatry. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but harden their necks, like the neck of their fathers, that not believe in Yahweh their Elohim. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimonies which he testified against them. They followed vanity and became vain, and went after the heathen that were round about him concerning Yahweh the Elohim, and the charmers and and charged them that they should not do like them. And they, I might have to get my Bible. They let all the commandments of Yahweh the Elohim and made, and they left all the commandments of Yahweh the Elohim, made them golden images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. And they caused their sons, they're passing this behavior right down to their children. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire, and used divination and enchantments, and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of Yah, and revoked him to anger. For Yahweh the Elohim was very angry with Israel, not everybody else, but with Israel, and removed out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Wow. This was so prevalent in Israel that Yah just removed them, took them out, separated them, and actually brought them into captivity. And it shall come to pass, Micah chapter 5, verses 10 through 13. Micah 5, 10 through 13. We're going to close on this. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith Yahweh, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. And I will cut off the witchcrafts out of thine hand. Thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. Everything that I've done, what I've created, what I've made happen by going outside of the bounds of the Most High and what He set for His people. All right, anyway, that is the conclusion of this short study. Again, all these topics are pretty much, all these studies are without, you can't really exhaust them. There's just so much to them. So it is bare bones, but I think you get the gist of the study. The fact is that, there's going to be this spiritual condition trying to creep back in, the same condition that's going to cause the whole world to go after idolatry and after spiritual adultery by the avenue of sorcery, whether that's opening up the supernatural for demonstration or by words and, you know, actions, the speech of false prophets, false brethren, that type of thing. But this is all the avenue of sorceries to remove, you know, to cause part of the great falling away, to get men to go off and establish themselves as their own gods, their own, you know, the ones that are going to create their own way to eternity, whatever type of euphoria or utopia that is deemable in their eyesight. But anyway, I sure hope you all enjoyed it. Hey, y'all be blessed this week. In case you haven't begun to start putting back, you know, the pastor said today that the Feast of Tabernacles is just looking to be a huge gathering again. You know, it's the last feast of the year, the 7 days with the eighth great day, Shemini Atzeret. And, you know, start putting back, you know, making arrangements that you can be here with us. And, of course, it's going to be much colder that time of the year, so we have the possibility of getting down below freezing. So already making preparations for proper winter dress and gear. And it also tends to be a rainier time of the year. So, you know, if you can make the preparations and be ready ahead of time, when it finally gets here, it really doesn't, you know, cause that many disturbances or problems. So it's always good to prepare. A wise man prepares all the time. And hey, blessings to y'all, my family. And y'all stay encouraged. Of course, keep fervent prayer up for Pastor Dow, you know, for everything that the hours of labor that he spends for Israel because of his love for Yah's people. And of course, for Pastor Corey and Pastor Fox and Pastor John Tatum, you know, the elders and for one another. You know, as we're supposed to pray for one another that we all may be healed. And with that, you know, keep your eyes lifted up. Keep your hopes up on Yah, up on, you know, the eternal salvation that's been promised to us. Don't allow yourself to be removed by, don't allow yourself to be deceived. Be sober and watching under prayer. All right. Blessings to all of you. Hey, Shabbat Shalom. The King is coming.